The reading is Isaiah 66, verses 5 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you and exclude you because of my name have said, "Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy." Yet they will be put to shame. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her, for you will feed and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will feed and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees as a mother comforts her child. So will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Corinthians 2, starting at verse 3 to 7.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comfort us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abundant through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffered. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, both. Good morning again. I promise I'm not going to dance anymore or curtsy or anything like that. Shall we pray before we look at this interesting passage this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Mothering Sunday. And as we think a bit more about that now, we ask that you would help us to see you and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've already thought a little bit about what Mothering Sunday is, what it's also known as. Maybe we're now all wanting it to be Pudding Pie Sunday, I don't know. But we're going to think a little bit more about that this morning. And it's interesting because I thought I'd do a little bit of research. It's always a good thing when you're preaching, obviously. And I went online and I found a cartoon. I found a cartoon designed by a famous Christian cartoonist who has cartoons put in various different places and papers and things like that. And I saw this cartoon, which is a few years old now. And it's basically, I'll try and describe it because for copyright reasons I can't show it. It is a book, and on the book it says, a huge book which describes why it should be called Mothering Sunday. Underneath it says, Dear Church, please find a better battle to fight. Now, the battle, of course, is whether we should call it Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, in case you were wondering about what that battle is. Now, I sort of agree that, you know, there are a lot more battles that need to be fought. But I disagree that we shouldn't fight it. Is that right? Does that make sense? Let me explain why I think that. Mothering Sunday, we've thought about it already, is about the mother church, going to your mother church, you're going to your home church. It's about a worshiping community. It's about a household of faith, as David Perrott would put it. It's about church family and all of those things. Mother's Day, on the other hand, is a secular thing from the United States. It's about bigging up mothers. Now, I've got nothing against that, obviously. But when we think of it in those terms, Mothering Sunday is something quite different. And Mother's Day is a secular thing. And in some ways, it's a lot more painful because of how it goes about the whole thing. We have two very different things there. And the interesting thing, actually, is that when we think about it, it's a bit like the secular has taken over the sacred. How often do we see that elsewhere as well? Christmas, Easter, whatever it might be, the secular taking over the sacred. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate mothers and fathers. Of course we should. I actually know a family that the son said, well, hang on, what about me? So they have son's day as well. My reaction is, but you do have a birthday. But anyway, that's the way it goes. It's a difficult time, though, is it? It can be a really difficult time, particularly when we think of it in those terms as Mother's Day, not Mothering Sunday. So, for example, in another church I was in, the person who was leading the service decided it would be a really good idea to ask all the mothers to stand up. You can imagine how I felt at that point. I wanted to walk out. I couldn't because I was involved in the service. But I did make my point afterwards. It can be a very painful day. And it's right that we acknowledge the pain. And we can have pain on this day for all sorts of different reasons. Whether we've lost a mother who's died, or we're estranged from our mother, or we haven't had a very good relationship with them, or we don't have children, or our children have died, or we're single, or whatever it might be. And of course, it also affects men and women. A member of the church sent me something which I wanted to read out, and it's particularly written to the women today in this church, but actually I think it applies for all of us. Let me read you these words. They're quite small. I should wear my glasses. It says this: life is beautiful, but can be challenging. Some days you laugh. Some days you just can't afford a smile. Some days you feel like, what is the point? Today I want to share this with you. Even in pain, despair, fear, loneliness, hopelessness, don't lose hope. Let us all with unity encourage, inspire, be determined to harness our God-given strength and gifts in each other. A hello, a smile, a handshake, a hug, a call. Whatever you can do in your own small way will go a long way to help. We all need somebody to lean on. Are those beautiful words there? And so this morning I want to think a little bit more about Mothering Sunday, about what that image of Mother Church, of home, of all of those things mean. I want us to think about faith. I want us to think about hope. I want us to recognise the hope that we have. So we're going to think a little bit more about that reading from Isaiah chapter 66. It's a bit of a confusing reading, isn't it? I don't know about you. You probably read it and went, or heard it and sort of thought, what on earth is this about? Join the club. In fact, I'm not sure I'm that much the wiser after a week of reading it and looking at some commentaries, if I'm honest. But that's actually quite important, isn't it? Because when we find a passage that we don't really understand, that doesn't mean we should just throw it out. I actually saw something this week. Someone had posted on Facebook, it was a spoof. It was a perforated Bible with pages that you can tear out. It is a spoof. I'm not condoning anything like that, because it's important that we recognise every part of Scripture. Even the bits we don't understand, even the bits that we find really difficult, we need to read them. And we need to sometimes be okay with the fact that we don't always understand them as well. Sorry, that's a little aside. But in essence, this passage is about hope. It's about the hope of comfort. It's about the hope of salvation. It's about the hopelessness which is found in some ways throughout Isaiah being replaced by hopefulness. We're going to think a little bit more about that in a moment, but I wanted to give a bit of a personal testimony on this. I hope that's okay. I'm going to do it anyway, so even if you say no, do it. I was thinking that, last week, actually, about how I was this time last year. So last Mothering Sunday, you'd have seen me sitting on the chairs, I think they were there at the back, basically crying my way through both services. Because I don't particularly like this day. I felt quite hopeless. I felt it wasn't so much for me about having children. I've never seen myself having children. But it was about being on my own. It was about that sort of loneliness of not having anyone else to go home to and all of that sort of thing. My cat doesn't count. Well, she sort of does. Anyway, so I felt quite hopeless like that. And then during the summer at New Wine United, it's a plug for New Wine United. If you want to go, the next price range goes up soon, so do book soon if you want to join us. Anyway, at New Wine United, I went along one evening to a session that someone was giving, someone I knew, and she was preaching on Romans 16. Now, if you know Romans, you'll know that Romans 16 is the last chapter in that letter. And it's basically a list of names. It's sort of a letter from Paul to say, please say hello to all these people I've worked with and know. But what really got me in that passage, apart from the fact that it was a sermon on Romans 16, and I don't think I've ever heard one on that, was that the person who was speaking focused a lot of her sermon on Phoebe. Now, you might wonder why that's important. Well, Phoebe is described as a deacon. Phoebe is a church leader. But what this speaker did, which really got me, was the fact that she reminded us that Phoebe's not mentioned alongside her husband. So the likelihood is that Phoebe was single. She was a single woman in ministry, and I was like, hello! No, it's more like, is the spotlight on me? What's going on? And it really spoke to me in a really powerful way, really encouraging, uplifting way. And then the next night, I went along to the main arena, and I really cannot remember who was speaking, what it was about, or anything like that. But at the end, in the prayer ministry time, I really felt that through something that had been said from the front, that God was saying to me, do you know it's okay to be single? And I actually felt that God was saying, maybe long term I won't get married. And it was really, really hard at the time. Really, really hard. But do you know what? Bit by bit, over the last 9 months, that's interesting, over the last 9 months, anyway, over the last 9 months, I have realized more fully than I have before that my hope is not in a relationship, it's not in anything like, it's not in children, but it's in God. My hope, my home, my comfort are all found with my Lord and my Saviour. And actually, thinking back to that meaning of Mothering Sunday, my hope is found with the people of God, my home church. Now, of course, that doesn't mean it's always easy, does it? I'm sure we can all understand and recognise that there are times that whatever we face, even if we're okay with it most of the time, there are moments when it's really difficult. But for me, that underlying realisation has been really powerful. And so today's Mothering Sunday, I'm in a really different place. Because I have always avoided doing anything on Mothering Sunday. I've avoided leading. I've avoided being here on one occasion. Actually, that wasn't intentional. I've avoided preaching anything. But this year, I asked to speak, which says a lot about where I am. A wise woman who is in the room, actually, told me off when I said to her, I'm not a mother. She said, yes, you are. She pointed at me and waggled her finger. Because, of course, I need to remember that I am a mother, because let's have a look at these. They're so cute. These are my godchildren and my nieces, and my compassion sponsor child as well. And I am aware that my godson in the middle at the top is possibly taking after his godmother by dressing up there as a chicken. Those of you who are at the New Wine Leadership Conference will know that I may have offered to dress up as a chicken on Easter Sunday. I'm not going to, by the way. I hear. But of course, I can be a mother to lots of other people as well, and that same person reminded me that I am a mother, a spiritual mother, in a sense, as well. And all of that is because when we're in a place where we recognise that we're home, where we recognise that we are loved, and where we recognise who we are in Christ, is wonderful. And it helps us to face the pain and the difficulties. Now, I hope that was okay, but let me now focus more on, not me anymore, on God, because that's what it's all about. It's not about me, it's about God. And I want us to think this morning a bit about that passage from Isaiah chapter 66. So first of all, let's just think a little bit about the context of this passage. Isaiah 66, the last chapter of Isaiah. 66 chapters in Isaiah, same number as in the Bible. That'll help you remember how many are in Isaiah. Or in the Bible. And throughout Isaiah, God speaks against those who put themselves above him. He speaks against those who place self-interest first and things like that. But also in Isaiah, there's a great deal of hope. Hope of the suffering servant, of the messianic king. There's also promise of peace and prosperity and security. It's a book about judgment. It's a book about salvation. And the first few verses of chapter 6, which we didn't read, have God speaking about both those, salvation and judgment. God speaks judgment against those who've chosen their own ways. That's in verse 3. He also speaks judgment against those who've not listened when he calls. That's an interesting one, verse 4. But he speaks far more positively to those who, in verse 2, are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at his word. What an amazing image that is, trembling at his word. When we think about trembling, it's often because we're excited or we're just in awe. I wonder, is that how we are about God's word? Do we tremble? Are we in awe? Maybe that's a challenge for us to think about that. And this continues in our reading. God speaks through Isaiah to those who tremble at his word, the ones who have chosen God. But this passage also says that there are those who were mocking those people because of that. So God announces judgment on those who mock and scorn those who follow God's path. He announces judgment on the ones who are more interested in themselves than on anything else. That's an encouragement, isn't it, for those of us maybe who tremble at God's word, or those who are mocked for their faith, that God notices, he sees. But then very quickly this passage moves from judgment and destruction to hope and abundance in verse 7 and the rest of our reading. And that's the context of what we're thinking about. So what are these verses about? They are a bit confusing. They talk about a woman giving birth, but with no birth pains, no labour and so on. All the women are going, oh, that would be good. But what are they saying? Well, they talk about promise. They talk about promises. They talk about promises of hope and salvation. They talk about Zion being described as her. Now, Zion is a mountain in Jerusalem, but in the Old Testament, it's also a way of describing Israel as the people of God. And it's really interesting because if we look back to chapter 1 of Isaiah, Zion is described as a harlot. That's not a nice word, is it? Zion described as a harlot. But here, she is becoming the faithful city that later in chapter 1, she is promised to be. And so in this chapter, Zion becomes a mother. Remember the promises that Abraham received about descendants being many and numerous, about the promises that Israel will be the hope of all nations. And so that image of birth without pain and so on is an image of the promise of blessing. It's about the birth of a new nation, one which through Christ, of course, includes us. Isaiah goes on to say, do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring delivery, says your God? What God is saying to Isaiah there is that he will finish and everything will come to fruition. This is a wonderful promise of hope and salvation, a picture of redemption, if you like. And Zion in this picture is the mother. We have that wonderful image of dandling on the knee. And if you're like me and you didn't know what dandling means, it means bouncing on the knee. I love that image. I wonder, I don't know if this is taking the passage too far, but I wonder, is there a sort of a picture of Mother Church here as well? But of course, this isn't really about Zion. This is about the Lord. Because this passage reminds us that it is God who will do it. In verse 13, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will feed and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And so in this passage, hope replaces hopelessness. Because actually, if we look further back into Isaiah, we have this imagery of barrenness. But here, we have birth. Hope and comfort are found here. And of course, ultimately, says God in this passage, are found in God. Look how God is described in this passage. God is described as a mother. I don't know if you've thought about that image before. Because we often talk a lot, don't we? Talk a lot about the image of fatherhood, of God as father. But what about this image here? Well, it's not the only time God is described as a mother. There's lots. I've got a whole page full here. But here's a couple of examples. Earlier on in Isaiah 49, it says this. God says, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. What about when Jesus describes a mother hen? Often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Or what about when Jesus describes God as the woman looking for that coin that gets lost? All descriptions of God as mother. It's an important image. We are all made in the image of God, male and female. Therefore, that image of God as mother is equally important. And if we think about the characteristics of God as mother, it makes us see God in an even bigger way than maybe we have done before. And isn't that appropriate on Mothering Sunday to think about that? Especially when we think about Mothering Sunday being about the mother church, about the home church, about home and family. So I wonder what that says to you, if God is also like a mother. Now, of course, as we think, when we think about the fatherhood of God, that can be a really difficult image for us because of maybe the relationship or lack of relationship we've had with our mothers. But of course, when we think about God being like a mother, in some ways, It redeems that because God shows us the best way to be a mother as well. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. What an incredible image that is. Picture that. That is who God is. One who is like a mother in the very best sense. In that we see intimacy, we see love, we see care, we see closeness. I just want to read you a couple of verses from a commentary. This is one of the few places in the Bible where God is directly compared to a mother. And most commentators agree that the comparison has been used to reinforce the depth of God's concern and care for his children. These are not merely arm's-length transactions. They are an expression of the intimate, personal involvement of a loving, personal God with his people. And that beautiful image, God as mother. And of course, when we think about God as mother, that passage that we've read in Isaiah 66 talks about what God brings as mother. God brings as mother comfort. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. There's intimacy there, isn't there? There's closeness. There is everything we need. Comfort in whatever we face. Actually, there's security there as well, isn't there? And I think for me, part of what I have experienced and come to realize this year is that I'm still a work in progress, we all are, but I've become to realize that maybe in a deeper way. That in God I find comfort. That reading from 2 Corinthians 1 says that he is the God of all comfort. Of all comfort. And the fact is, it's so easy, isn't it, for us to look for comfort in other ways. To look for comfort in substances, in inappropriate relationships, in work, in porn, in all sorts of things, in our relationship status, in children. But ultimately, the comfort that we get brings hope is the one that we find in God who comforts like a mother. Is your comfort found in God, in the loving arms of God as mother, in the life-giving arms of Jesus? And so Mothering Sunday is about all of these things. And it's also about coming home. Home, which is, of course, where our God is, where we find comfort, and we show God's love and comfort to others, of course, because that's the challenge of 2 Corinthians 1, isn't it? That we are comforted so that we can be a comfort. But it's about home. And I wrote this phrase down this week. We are most at home when we are at home with God. I wonder if that's true for us. We are most at home when we are at home with God. Because home is about comfort, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I go home, I get onto the sofa, I've got a nice hot drink, get a blanket, put the telly on, I'm all nice and cosy. I'd love the cat to come and sit on me, but she's not that sort of animal, unfortunately. But there we go. But home is about comfort. It's about a place where you feel safe. It's about a place where there is hope, and so on. And of course, the best home is when we're with God. And so I wonder this morning, have you come home? Do you know that relationship with God? Or have you forgotten the hope and the promises that we find through Jesus in home, at home with him? Or do you need to return to God as your comfort and all that that means? I wonder, where is your comfort this morning? Where does your comfort need to come from this week? Are there things you need to change? Or maybe there are things that you need to acknowledge, the pain. But the most beautiful thing, of course, is whatever pain we face, we have a God who is like a mother who comforts us. Isn't that a beautiful image? As I said earlier, we have got a little gift for everyone to take home with them today, and it's a little bookmark. It actually has that verse from Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. We'd love to give you one of those to take home with you today, just to remember what we've been thinking about today. But I want to spend a little bit of time in prayer, but can I encourage you to stand with me if you're able to? We all come to this day with different experiences of this day. We all come to this day with sometimes with positive things, sometimes with painful things on our hearts. And it might be that this morning you need to just come before the Lord and acknowledge that pain and give it to him, to come to him afresh as one who wraps his loving, comforting arms around you. Maybe for you, this is a call to come home, either for the first time to give your life to Jesus or to return to the God of comfort. And maybe all sorts of other things that God has been saying to you this morning. But Holy Lord, I ask that you would come to us with your comforting, loving arms. That for those of us who need to give you our pain and our hurt, would do so knowing that with you we find that comfort. For those of us who are struggling for all sorts of different reasons, who need to actually remember that we can come home to you, help us to do that today. And for those who maybe don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would help them to come to you this morning, to acknowledge who you are, to come home.